I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Tiny little baby, cradled in the manger. Did the Father send you from heaven above? Tiny little baby, cradled in the manger. Did the Father send you to bring us love? Look at what they gave you.
Look at what they gave you.
A manger for a cradle.
A manger for a cradle.
For your royal palace.
For your royal palace.
A cattle stall.
A cattle stall.
Tiny little baby, cradled in the manger. Someday you will grow up to be the Lord of all. Tiny little baby, cradled in the manger, lying in the shadows in Bethlehem town. Tiny little baby, cradled in the manger. Are you the Messiah from heaven come down? Look at what they gave you.
Look at what they gave you.
A manger for a cradle.
A manger for a cradle.
For your royal palace. Tiny little baby, cradled in the manger. Someday you will grow up to be the Lord of all.
To be the Lord of all.
Yes, amen. Thank God the tiny little baby has become the Lord of all. What a blessing it is to be a child of God, and what a blessing it is to welcome you to the Voice of Hope today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host for this weekly Bible teaching broadcast. Our goal each week is to build up your hope in God and His Word. We believe the Holy Scriptures are infallible, inerrant, and the Word of God to mankind. They are the source of all truth. And this Word is necessary for real living, because Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Some time ago, we received a letter from a listener who was living in Mexico. He listens to our Spanish language broadcast, Esperanza Segura, or Secure Hope. I want you to hear what the power of God's Word has accomplished in his life. He writes, "I'm a fervent radio listener of your ministry, which I listen to through a station in Brownsville, Texas. I commend you that your biblical teachings and prayer have brought peace and tranquility to my life. I accepted Jesus as my only Savior, and the Lord has prepared me for the day that I obtain my freedom. I am confined in the Federal Center of Social Rehabilitation. I listen each Sunday to your program, and I've learned how to love and to follow my only Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that you will continue your program for people like me that are deprived of physical freedom, but we have been liberated spiritually by our Lord Jesus." He then ends his letter by asking us to pray for him. So let's do that right now, and we'll also ask God's blessing and direction for our study in the Word of God. Gracious, forgiving, Heavenly Father, how we rejoice to know that another lost sheep has been brought back to the safety of your fold. Thank you for this brother's testimony, that even though he is incarcerated, you have set him free from sin and from bondage. Praise your worthy name. We ask your blessing upon this listener and all listeners, that they might faithfully walk with you. And now, Father, we ask for your enlightening spirit to rest upon each listener in a special way, as Dr. Yoder opens the word for us. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Every human being wishes in some way to make contact with God or with the metaphysical. That is not surprising, because we are made in the image of God. To accomplish this, some play around with Ouija boards or visit the soothsayers and fortune tellers. It is a drive that is present in the human personality. Some even worship Satan. Some years ago I read that in West Germany, 1 million worship Satan, and they have 3 million sympathizers. A Nigerian friend told me one time that all of the traditional religions in Africa are satanic. They have their frame of reference around the adversary, Satan. You can be sure that pleases Satan well. Well, yes. He even tempted our Lord Jesus to fall down and worship him when he took him up on that high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, "I will give you all of these if you will fall down and worship me." But Jesus refused, thank God. The Bible strongly condemns such practices, even as early as when Moses was lecturing to the people of Israel just before they entered into the land of promise. He said to them, and I read from Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that causeth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." You may want to take down that reference, Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12. And you can study the meaning of those various terms. That's Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12. God had prohibited to Israel any of those exercises. Well, let's praise God, because we are not left to find God by such means. We have a revelation from God. Praise the Lord. Now, open your Bible to 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21, and listen as I read the Holy Scripture. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Notice that by several clear explanations, Peter authenticates the Bible for us. First, it is a light of illumination. He speaks there about a more sure word of prophecy. So Peter understands that the Bible is crystal clear. It is more enduring. It is more authenticated than sight or hearing. I believe when he used the term a more sure word of prophecy, he was referring to the immediate preceding context where he talked about being on the holy mount with Jesus and hearing the voice from heaven and seeing his glory. That more sure word of prophecy is the Holy Bible, the Bible which we have. It is better, my friend, than sight or hearing. It pierces the darkness. He compares it to a light that shines in a dark place. It pierces the darkness, I say. And I must tell you, friend, that the human mind is befogged. It is sadly out of joint, out of connection with God. In fact, the psalmist in Psalm 35 makes a graphic comparison in verses 4 through 6. Listen. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of God chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Oh, you see, my friend, it is dark. The wicked walk in the darkness. They need a light, a penetrating light, a light to pierce the darkness. To us, the Bible is that light. Again, the psalmist wrote in 119th Psalm, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Do you hear it? God intends us by the word to have light, not darkness. Again, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 20 to 23, the scripture says, I quote, My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Apostle Peter then instructs us to keep that light, to follow that light until the day dawn and the day star arises. You know, friend, the Bible is our light until we stand in the presence of Jesus, who is himself light. That will be a face-to-face meeting. I urge you to walk in the light of the Bible. There's a second explanation Peter gives us. It is a unit of interpretation. Now that is a basic fact that we must accept and follow. The Bible is a unit. It is made up of 66 separate parts, or books, as we call them. Yet the Bible is a unit for interpretation. It begins with the beginning in the book of Genesis and ends with the end in the book of Revelation. In between these two books, the beginning and the end, is contained all that pertains to life and godliness. No interpreter has the right to try to make the Bible contradict itself. It is a unit of revelation from Genesis to the last book, the book of Revelation. I want you to notice that Peter said, It is of no private interpretation. No prophecy or scripture can be privately interpreted. I think that means that all of it must be related to the rest of it. Any scripture must be taken in its context and related to the rest of the scripture. Get that, friend. Etta Lehnemann, in her book, Historical Criticism of the Bible, sought to put theologians back into the committed faith of the Bible and in the Bible. I would like to quote from Robert W. Yarborough in his introduction to that book. This is what he wrote on page 11. I quote, In the modern world, as Lehnemann rightly notes, God is unknowable, and revelation in its traditional definition is no longer acceptable or valid. The focus of theology is instead human experience as defined by the theories of modern social science, philosophy, historiography, and other scientific disciplines. God, as understood in historic Orthodox Christian thought, is systematically ruled out of consideration and is replaced by human self-awareness and purely immanent forces. As the historical theology text put it, anthropology replaces theology. End of quotation. So, friend, I beg you, accept the Bible for what it is, a unit of interpretation. And thirdly, It is a product of inspiration. Prophecy did not come as a product of human planning. Men wrote, but the Holy Spirit moved them. Please be careful that you understand what Peter is telling us. It did not come by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now it is true that the writers came from a wide range of backgrounds. Some were kings, some were mere herdsmen, some were priests, some were prophets, and some were fishermen. These men came from a wide range of backgrounds. But when they were writing the Holy Bible, they all came under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He was the one who moved them. He was the one who guided them, so that what they wrote is the word and will of God. I want you to see that God willed to give us the Bible, and only through the Bible do we have any knowledge of God. These people can run everywhere and anywhere they wish, but they will not find God if they do not come to the Bible to find God. No. Again, let me refer to Etta Lehnemann's book, Historical Criticism of the Bible. I am quoting now from page 19. These are her own words, her testimony of what happened to her as a student and teacher, professor of historical criticism of the Bible. She says, and I quote, "Suddenly, I was convinced that God's promises are a reality, that God is a living God, and that He reigns, for He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Psalm 33:9. All that I had heard from testimonies in recent months fell into place at that moment. I became aware of what folly it is, given what God is doing today, to maintain that miracles reported in the New Testament never took place. Suddenly, it was clear to me that my teaching was a case of the blind leading the blind. I repented for the way I had misled my students. End of quotation. Oh, praise God. So, friend, submit to the Bible as the inspired Word of God. Rejoice, my friend, and walk in the light of the Bible. Rejoice and accept the unity of the Bible. Rejoice and submit yourself to the inspiration of the Bible. Yes, amen. Now let us pray. O Almighty God, Sovereign Lord, how marvelous. We can take up a book that is authenticated throughout history to be the holy book of the living God. Oh, impress my friend and me, Lord, that we have a more sure word of prophecy, a beautiful light to show us the way, a unit of revelation, an inspired word of God. I pray, impress upon our hearts how then we should look at it, study, understand, accept, and follow the teaching of thy holy word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for those clear explanations that illustrate the authenticity of the Holy Scriptures. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, "Holy men of God spoke as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit." As I ponder that truth, I make this observation. While you and I are not moved by the Holy Spirit in the exact same way the writers of the Scripture were, yet that same Spirit is active in our lives as we surrender ourselves to His leading. And so here are the men to sing my prayer.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may
My friend, I hope and pray that is your desire too. To be so filled and so controlled by God's Holy Spirit that we can say with our Lord Jesus, I do only those things that please the Father. To live that kind of life before God and an unbelieving world provides the greatest authentication of the Holy Scripture. I really appreciated Dr. Yoder's comments on the phrase, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, many wrong conclusions are reached and many false teachings proclaimed by taking Scriptures out of their context and forcing into them the meaning preferred by the teacher. James Packer stated it so well. We cannot arrive at a true understanding of God's Word by detaching texts from their contexts to find personal meaning in them, and be feeding them into the world of our private preoccupations and letting that world impose new senses on old phrases. He goes on, a theological student I knew as a friend had committed himself to starting his ministry in the north of England when he received a very attractive invitation to join a teaching institution in South Wales instead. He didn't feel able to withdraw from his commitments, but one day, he was reading in Isaiah 43:6, where it says, I will say to the north, give up. And he concluded that this was God telling him that he would be providentially released from his promise and set free to accept the second invitation. Well, no such thing happened, so he went north after all, wondering what had gone wrong. And then he reread Isaiah 43:6 and noticed that it continued, and to the south, do not withhold. At this point, it dawned on him that he had been finding meaning in the text that was never really there. Instead, the concerns which he brought to this reading of the text had governed his interpretation of it. To impose meaning on the text is not the way to learn God's law. Yet we constantly do this, don't we? And it's one chronic obstacle to understanding. That's the end of the quote. I say, Amen. My friend, I cannot overemphasize the importance of the truth you heard today, especially considering the casual attitude so many professing Christians have toward the Word of God. Let me urge you to write and request a printed copy of today's teaching, The Authentication of the Bible. You can get your copy by asking for the book titled Sojourners in Faith. This book contains this exposition and all Dr. Yoder's expositions from the books of 1st and 2nd Peter, and I'm sure you will find it a source of rich spiritual blessing. If you'd like a copy of the book, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. And this teaching is also available on an audio CD. We invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, if you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching when it's convenient for you. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. We would especially appreciate your gift here as we approach year end. And when you send your gift, ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week. Lord willing, we'll have a special program in commemoration of the birth of Jesus, that singular event that changed the course of human history. I hope you can join me. And until we meet again.
Long ago in a Bethlehem manger, long ago our Lord was born, came to earth a lowly stranger, came to earth on Christmas morn. Sing we now in joyful chorus, Christ is born, Christ is born. Sing we now in joyful chorus, Christ is born, Christ is born. Long ago he died to save us, crucified upon the tree. Long ago he died and gave us life and immortality. Sing we now in grateful chorus, salvation free, salvation free. Sing we now in